Today on Snail Trail 4x4, Jimmy gets naked and Tyler gets afraid.
Snail Trail 4x4 is brought to you by Bestline Racing. Our new Diamond Nanotechnology acts as tiny ball bearings that keep the boundary layer strong, smooths out the metal surfaces, and is virtually impervious to heat and pressure. This keeps you in your rig rather than under it. High performance is more than our products, it's our lifestyle. Bestline Racing.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome lubing Toyotas is, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. I am your host today. My name is Tyler, and this is episode 98. And joining me in the studio is the one and only, my co-host, the Mr. Wonderful, Jimmy Jet himself. Jimmy, how are you doing today? Say hi to everybody.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Bien, I too. Y2?
E.
Y-E?
E2.
E-Y?
I was waiting for you at the intro there to throw out 98 in Spanish, because I know that your Espanol is becoming muy bueno.
Muy importante.
It is important here.
Yes. Yeah. True. welcome to the episode. I was testing you to see if you were going to say anything before you were introduced.
You yelled at me last time. I got ridiculed on air.
Dino made me do it. He pulled me aside before the episode, and he said that I'm too nice to you and I need to be meaner on air.
Yeah, I think you and Dino have got something, you know, going on behind my back.
I would never do that because he drives a Corolla. But I'm kidding, buddy. Jeez, he's getting all upset over there. I would never, ever pick Dino over you, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Oh, yeah?
Ever.
Okay.
As I have my hands crossed behind my back.
Right, fingers. Oh, here's a fun thing.
Uh-huh.
So, you know how, like, I've never understood why, this is a total bird walk.
Okay.
I've never understood like when you're a child and you tell a lie and you cross your fingers and you're like, I cross my fingers so it doesn't count.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then when we get older, we're like, oh, I hope it happens. And you cross your fingers. Like, why does that, like that doesn't make sense. Right.
Interesting. I never thought about that.
So I've thought of that. Right. And that's a different part. But then when I was on the Antarctic cruise, I was talking to some German people, and I did something like, oh, I hope that happens, and I crossed my fingers, and she like looked at me, and she's like, what are you doing? Like, oh, that's like a sign for us that it's like, that this will come true. I'm hoping that it comes true. And she goes, oh, we have a saying in German, you squeeze your thumb. Like, and they literally put their thumb in the middle of their palm of the hand and they hold it, and that's their symbol for like, oh, I hope this happens.
Interesting.
And so they squeeze their thumb. Yeah, I don't know. So you crossing your fingers behind your back is you were telling a lie, and I was holding my thumb behind my back because I was hoping it was true.
Interesting. I wonder if that stems from it's really just what you actually want to happen, right? And so if you're intentionally lying,
yeah,
you want the lie. I hope it doesn't happen. I can lie without being caught. I don't know. Yeah, no, that's a good question. I'll have to, if there's any like behavioral, historical behavior psychologists out there that know the answer to that, let us know. Maybe they'll bring it up on the show 100 Humans.
There you go.
Have you watched that?
No. Oh, that yes. Show I watched awesome. A very short stint at it at your house once.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was the first episode I watched of it, and I've watched almost half of them now. They are pretty hysterical and like surprising, the stuff they come up with and they figure out. Yeah.
The assistant and I started watching Firefly.
I don't know what that is.
It's a sci-fi TV show.
Okay.
Back
in, like Stargate?
Yeah, I mean, you could say it is, but so it's kind of interesting. They do some things like terraforming planets. Oh. And when they start terraforming the planet, they like drop people off there and they have to survive on their own. And it's all about kind of like they start from like cowboys and work their way up to metropolitan cities. And then there's spaceships that are all in the middle of all this too. So it's sort of it's like a sci-fi Western. Okay. Thing. And it was only went on one season on TV. And then there was a huge uproar that it only, like, they canceled it and it was only one season. And it was a really good season, too. And so Josh Whedon was the producer.
Okay.
And so he went and he created a movie to, like, close the whole thing down.
Huh.
And so, like, you can watch the TV series and it leads it up, and then you watch the movie
that was actually in theaters. The TV series.
Yeah, and it feeds off of what was going on the TV series, and it brings closure to the TV series.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, it's a really good series.
Nice.
I've seen it probably five times. Or something, five, six times.
Okay. I'll have to check that out.
The assistant's never seen it, so we started it.
Okay. You'll have to check that one out. I'm watching Survivor right now.
Oh, yeah.
Binge watching Survivor because it all showed up on Amazon Prime. So, yeah. So that's what I've never watched that show before.
I've never watched it either.
And like the first few seasons, I was like, "Eh, this is kind of like, I mean, it's a little entertaining, but at the same time, it's kind of boring." But now I'm at like season, I don't know, 13, 14, 15,
holy
somewhere
cow.
In there. There's like 30 seasons or something like that.
What?
Wow. Jeff Probst is old, but he looks super young still. So kudos to him. This is the season where things are like start getting interesting, and it's no longer they're just like they're aligned. They get their original alliance with their team and then just take that alliance all the way to the end. Like every single episode, people are starting to just backstab each other and just say like, F you, I'm going to go over here and do this. And they're like all turning on each other, and it's getting very fascinating now.
I always thought I'd be good at Naked and Afraid.
I think you would too. I don't think you have very much shame.
I don't have very much shame. They're like, they let you bring one thing, you know, and not bring some sort of like axe or hatchet or knife or something. And I think making clothes would probably be one of the last things I end up doing.
I'd
be
like,
I need to build a tree house, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be just doing it naked.
Nice.
But, I have some decent survivor skills. So
yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
That would be fun. You can go do that, and you can shoot a video of it with all your GoPros.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll do it in a YouTube video.
Naked and Afraid, Snail Trail Edition.
How to survive using only some basic tools out in the wilderness when you're off-roading.
And some of which we'll talk about right now today.
Yeah. That's where I was going with this.
Oh, nice. Look at you go. That'd be fun.
Yeah. We've got a lot of awesome things for this month.
Oh yeah, let's actually like start getting into some of what the episode is about today, I guess.
Well, a great not segue. Necessarily the episode, but just like this entire month's gonna be pretty crazy.
Yeah, so we don't even know everything that's going on this month.
No, not yet.
So this month, we have the 100th episode.
Yes.
So make sure
it'll be in a week.
So I think by the time you guys are listening to this episode, you're gonna have today and tomorrow for sure to get in emails with trivia questions to Jason over at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. So Jason@WheelingWineandWhiskey.com. That's his email. Blow up that inbox for us. And then maybe Wednesday morning, depends on how spunky Jason is at wanting to put together all the trivia questions. So we have that going on, but we had such good feedback and response from episode 92, which was the top 10 tools for beginners, for your beginner shop, from a lot of different places, that we ended up having Gear Wrench and Crescent Tools stepped up, and they want to sponsor and do a massive giveaway, tool giveaway. And so it ended up being they're offering up so much stuff that we decided we're going to have enough stuff to do and make a really exciting month full of giveaways.
Yes.
So typically we do just one giveaway a month kind of thing. And we throw in maybe one or two extras, little items here and there. But this month we're going to have a lot of really cool stuff going on. So it's going to be very hectic as you're listening to the episodes. It might be hard to follow along with, but we think we have it structured in a way where as best as we can structure it, I think.
No, definitely. I think we're doing upwards of 6 to 7 giveaways in a way.
Yeah, 7 giveaways and
7 types of giveaways.
Yes. Yeah.
And then one of those types of giveaways is going to be multiple types of giveaways for strictly patrons.
Correct. Yeah.
So, and then that said, patrons and everybody are going to be eligible for the other types of giveaways.
Yes.
We're not entirely sure what all those giveaways are, what they're going to work or what they're going to be in. That sounded confusing. But what the entirety of each entire giveaway is going to be.
Yeah, what items are going to be in it?
That's what I was trying for.
But we do know that it's going to be a really nice value, more bigger than any of our individual monthly giveaways that we've done so far. Mm-hmm. So each of the 7 giveaways are going to be quite a bit bigger than the giveaways we've done so far, just on a monthly basis for the giveaway tier on Patreon. So we'll get more details about what's going to come in each kit, and it's going to be kind of like a giveaway package. It's going to be a tool package for you guys.
Right.
Based on, in one way, some way, form, or another, based on the tool list that we did in episode 92. So it's going to be based off of that tool list. And ultimately, we'd love to give one of each of those tools in every single pack. For each giveaway, to a lucky winner from each giveaway. But we'll see how that goes. We have to kind of get everything priced out and figure out all the details. But that just kind of gives you an idea of what we're aiming for. And then we'll get the final details here Monday.
By Thursday.
Probably by Thursday,
The answer's there, because the day this episode comes out, there's going to be a post on Snail Trail 4x4's Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
And for the giveaway this week, we are doing subscribe to Snail Trail 4x4 on YouTube, subscribe on the podcast, and tag 2 friends down in the post, and you are going to be winning the item that we are showing off in the post.
Correct.
Which we don't know what it is.
Yeah. So
we're a few days early.
Item/items.
Yes.
So that's going to be the first one. That's going to be the kickoff giveaway, right? So the rest of the giveaways for the rest of the month, you're going to have to kind of stay current on the episodes in order to catch what the giveaways are for the rest of the month.
Yes and no.
Kind of, yeah. So if you're good at paying attention to social media, you might be able to pick it up, what the last 3 weeks of the month are going to be. But,
shall we go down this rabbit hole too? We are going to be doing a giveaway at the end of the month for iTunes reviews.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So I get it. Yes, I haven't got there yet. You're throwing me off now.
Sorry.
Man.
All right. I'll just kick back. You go. Ready, set. Go.
And Jimmy's gone. He's out of the room. It's just me and Dino now. And it's awkward because Dino just sits in the corner and stares. we have the way it's going to be structured is we have this week, which is the big kickoff, right? So there's going to be a post the day that this episode goes live on the Snail Trail Instagram. You got to subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to YouTube, and tag 2 buddies on the post. Then from there, you got to pay attention to the last 3 weeks of the month. You have to be current on the episodes to figure out what those giveaways and the rules are for those ones, because they're going to have to do with social media, but it's going to be a certain hashtag. So we'll be announcing that hashtag for you guys to post on social media the Monday episode of the last 3 Mondays of the month. So hope that wasn't too confusing. If it was, then you're going to have to wait till that Monday to figure out the rules for that week's giveaway. So for now, go look at the Snail Trail 4x4 Instagram and subscribe to the podcast and YouTube, tag 2 buddies, and that'll be the first week here. And then also for the month, we have iTunes giveaways. We're going to do a big giveaway out of the iTunes reviews. So pretty much if you have already done an iTunes review for the podcast, then you're in. You're good. Just don't delete it before the end of the month. And then if anybody else wants to get entered in, all you have to do is leave a review on iTunes and we will pull a winner for the giveaway at the end of the month. So you have all month long to get that done. We're giving you plenty of time. Don't miss it and make sure you get it done. And then, we have, of course, our normal Patreon giveaway. And that one we're going to do, that is for the patrons only on the giveaway tier of the patreon.com/snailtrail4x4. That guy is going to be four tool packages. So we're going to have four winners picked from the Patreon giveaway tier for that one. So you have all month long to get into that giveaway as well. So far as of the start of this episode right now in your ear holes, you have three ways to sign up for three different giveaways. And then next week, we will not have a giveaway because it's going to be episode 100. We have a fun game planned. And then the following week and the following week and the following, it's the last three Mondays, those are all going to be individual weekly giveaways as well. So make sure that you stay current on the episodes to know how those weekly giveaways operate once we get there. Make sense? Jimmy, you can go back now.
All right. Well, I hope you guys all got that.
I didn't get it. I'm still confused.
Yeah, it is a little confusing. I do agree. I think the only thing you need to worry about at this point in time is the Instagram post that's going on currently. And then write a iTunes review if you haven't done one already.
Mm-hmm.
And go sign up for Patreon.
Yep. So those are the three right now. And huge thank you to Gear Wrench and Crescent Tools for making Tool Month be awesome this month.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if there really is. I mean, we're kind of claiming this one as a tool month, but I wonder if there is a dedicated tool month like
I don't know.
Out there.
It should be June.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it should be.
I don't know. You'd think it'd be like February when everybody's closed indoors.
Maybe.
Working on their rigs, unless you're on the southern hemisphere.
That's true.
Then you're out wheeling. Hanging out with Ronnie Dahl.
Yeah, right. that's going to be a really fun month. All of the Monday's episodes, which are kind of the campfire discussions of the podcast, are all going to be based on tools in one form or another as well.
Yes.
So we'll be talking about all sorts of different tools this month. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you guys stay on track with what's going on. If you get really confused, shoot Jimmy an email at jimmy@snailtrail4x4.com and he'll explain everything to you.
Yep. I'll be nice and short and brief, but you'll understand it.
Yeah. So cool. Other than that, a huge thanks as well to Best Line Racing. Still go, check out what they have going on over there. We still have that discount code going for everybody. Snail Trail, all one word, gets you 15% off everything over there on the website. So we have not heard of the diesel additive going live yet, but it should be coming up fairly soon. So keep an eye over there, and once that diesel additive goes live, we'll be able to tell you guys to go over and check it out. The video was released.
It was.
Awesome video. I think it does a really good job at breaking down just how impressive and how important boundary layers are with oil and oil additives.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue before we met Perry and Best Line Racing that oil was really about boundary layers.
Right.
I just thought it was like lubricity and lubrousness.
Right. Without knowing that, you kind of knew it, right?
Because
you know that oil breaks down and you know it's not as lubricating, right? Mm-hmm, you know, so you kind of had that idea. It's just Perry was really good at explaining why it's important.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. So the video did a really good job, and it was very impressive to see the differences in not just the impact of
the scarring on the scar roller
marks,
bearing,
the wear marks, and the scarring. And keep in mind that when we ran the scar test with Bestline in there, we didn't clean off everything.
Right.
And so all the metal shards and the little slivers of metal that are on the spindle
that are in the oil. Yeah, that did break off from the previous boundary layer wearing out. Yeah.
All that is in the oil when we're testing it with the Best Line Racing.
Right.
And the minimum percentage that we found that it had a positive impact on your engine, the minimum was like 52%. Better, or something like that. But we tested three different oils with Best Line added to it, and every time we put Best Line in, it was like between 52 and 75% better, more efficient on the motor, the electric motor of the machine. So
yeah,
super cool. Check out the video. It's up on SnailTrail4x4 YouTube channel. So youtube.com/SnailTrail4x4. Check that out. It's quite impressive because nobody's done it with showing the power draw of the motor. And I don't know if anybody's ever done it by heating up the oil to engine operating temperature as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
it was funny. I did have a guy write a comment on there pretty quick, like right after it came out. He said, "This isn't a very good test. Like, you're just immediately going to break down the boundary layer. You know, cars run for like many hours and continually go, you know, and you need to run a test for like half an hour or a day or run, you know, see how long it'll go, you know, at these temperatures." And my response to him was, "Have you seen Project Farm's test with Best Line where he, puts like a standard oil in one Predator Harbor Freight motor and then puts that oil into another Harbor Freight motor, runs them, breaks in the motors properly, then adds Best Line into one of the motors, runs it for like half an hour, then drains all the oil out of both motors and then runs them until they die." Right? The Harbor Freight one with standard oil ran for like 25-30 minutes.
Okay.
The one with Best Line in it, no oil in it, right? It was all drained out. Ran for like 70 something minutes.
Jeez.
It went over double the amount of time than with standard oil.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Which goes along with what we found.
Honestly, kind of. It's a similar percentage to the percentages that we found. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
And even when we went to fatigue on the Best Line oil, it was over double what fatigue was on standard oil.
Yeah. Yep. So. I agree. So I don't know. I think it's not, you know, the exact.
It's not the exact.
It's not the exact
science.
Same as putting it into an engine, but you're measuring all the same forces.
Right.
Pretty much. It's the same type of forces.
Absolutely.
I should say.
So, yeah. If somebody wants to buy me two of the exact same cars and I'll run the exact same oil in them, one car and the other, and then add Best Line into it and I'll drive them both for 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
And then we can rip the engines apart. You know, if you want to pay for all that, I'll do that.
Yeah. Let's do it. Come on. We need a donor. So anyways, check out the video. Super awesome stuff. It'll definitely open your eyes and make you want to make sure you're running Best Line additives in all your vehicles. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
So, at least if you care about your vehicle, I should say that. So cool. What else do we have? I think no other really big updates.
No, I want to do a big thank you to the patrons for all your support. Everything that you guys are doing, I'm hoping you're seeing the rewards come right back to you. And this month, I think you'll see
a lot of rewards,
more rewards coming back to you.
Yeah.
So, I appreciate everything. We're, you know, always trying to grow and, get better here. And that's, mainly because of you guys.
Yep. Definitely huge shout out, huge thank you to everybody out there. Patrons, listeners, everybody who gives us feedback, good and bad. Dawn. And
Sherpa.
Just kidding. So yeah, thanks to everybody out there. We love hearing from you guys. We love meeting you guys out on trails. We love meeting you guys at meetups. We love seeing you guys, talking with you on Instagram. It's really, if it wasn't for the listeners and everybody enjoying the content, we wouldn't be doing it.
No.
So,
I mean, we would, we just wouldn't be recording.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We wouldn't hit the record button each time.
Yeah.
So cool. Thanks guys. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. So go ahead and grab your Trulies. If you drive a JK, and what did you order the other day?
Oh, it was a cold brew lavender soft top thing. I don't remember.
Soft top cold coffee.
I had to, all honesty, I had to look it up on their website.
Okay. I thought you had that memorized.
No, I just point to it usually.
Okay. I want that one.
Yeah. With lavender.
There you go. So go ahead and grab that coffee over there with lavender and a soft top, and we'll be right on back with you guys after the break. Welcome back, ladies, gentlemen, kiddos, and doggies, all the trail dogs out there. All the shout out. This one goes for you.
Rough.
Woof, woof. Dino? Dino, can you give us a woof, woof over there? Thank you, sir. See, we'll get him to talk on the microphone.
Sooner or later.
Sooner. Well, he can talk away from the microphone, so... Well, I know what we'll do. We'll just hide a microphone over there next to him and see if he finds out. He would probably, because he has the soundboard over there, so
he can see
third line in. He might know something's up. Anyways, what are we talking about today? We have tools on the docket.
Tools.
Right?
Yes. Today we are talking about honorable mentions.
And these are kind of like the redheaded stepchildren of the shop.
they're the redheaded stepchildren or the black sheep of our top 10 picks.
There we go. That works. when we ended the tool episode 92, we gave a shout out quickly to honorable mention tools that we were like, mm-hmm. these are great tools to have. We didn't think that they were high priorities, but they're definitely worth looking into when setting up your own shop or your own tools, sets of tools, stuff in your garage, whatever you're working in. And we got a lot of feedback saying, oh my God, you guys missed this. You missed that. How could you not mention that?
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably just stab oil filters like a monster.
Yes, I do. You know what was funny? A lot of times when we would get a suggestion, which we're going to cover most of these, that's why I'm sort of being vague. I said, which one would you replace that with? Right? Out of the top 10 that we had, you're suggesting this item. Which one would you take off? You know, which one was probably number one or number two?
I don't want to know. Yeah. I'm putting in earmuffs.
Tape measures or lights?
That's bullshit. Those are the top ones on the list. You sons of bitches. Now, you are entitled to your opinion. Opinions are just like buttholes. Everybody has one. Mm-hmm. You can have one. I'm not going to argue about your butthole. So,
yep. That's why we're all asses.
Yes. just like Lorenzo. jinx. Anyways, so we have the honorable mentions list of we've kind of accumulated a lot of the stuff that everybody yelled at us for.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's for you guys that came back and made us do another episode. And
Except
for Don.
He had like 40 items on his list that he sent us.
Yeah, we're not going over that.
Lifts. All kinds of things. It was some ratchet drill.
He said a 3 to 4 pound engineer drill hammer.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
I'm pretty sure that's it's a hammer drill. So it's a big drill. And as it drills, it hammers at the same time. It's made for like drilling into concrete.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you have that for a vehicle shop?
I don't know. They weren't necessarily... He had a ton of great suggestions, and we're actually incorporating some of them on here, but some of them weren't in the ballpark of a beginning mechanic we were starting.
Yes. I would also like to point out, while we're here talking about Don...
Okay.
He very kindly let me know that an adjustable wrench is not a monkey wrench.
Oh, yeah?
That a pipe wrench is a monkey wrench. An adjustable is a Canadian nut blank.
Nut effer.
Nut effer. Keep it straight. And so I would just like to point out, he had a tool misnamed in his list.
He did. I know it, too.
So, Don, this is for you, buddy. You said vice grips. And... there's no such thing as a vice grip tool. Vice grip is a brand, Senor.
What is a vice grip called, though? Everybody calls it vice grips.
Everybody calls it. And granted, up until like a week and a half ago, I called them vice grips, too.
So what are vice grips called? What is the tool name?
It is called a locking tongue and groove wrench. Or locking tongue and groove pliers? I think it's called a locking tongue and groove wrench.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what a quote unquote a vice grip
right
is. Yeah. So they're gone.
I have a vice grip brand Canadian finger fuckers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. That's right. You held it up to me. You're like, I have a vice grip. And you held it up. I was like, that's not a vice grip. I think I called it a monkey wrench at the time. And you're like, no, it's a brand vice grip.
Yeah. Channel, what it, or
adjustable wrench.
California socket set.
Puerto Rican socket set. Anyway, so yeah, we got a lot of really fun names for tools.
You're right.
We might do another episode for funny tool names that we got out of here. But we got a lot of other really good suggestions too. So
definitely.
All facetiousness aside, we got a lot of really good feedback.
That's
so
true. Very true. One of the things I wanted to talk about is if you're a Toyota driver,
mm-hmm.
you already have duct tape, baling wire, and zip ties in your truck. So
and you usually have a lot of them too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So we're not really covering those.
Yeah, we're not covering those because they're not automatic.
Yeah, it's something everybody already carries.
Yeah, exactly. So
unless you're a Jeep, then you should probably put those in.
Yeah, I mean, especially if last weekend on the Rubicon taught us anything is that a lot of Jeeps break down. And not a lot of Toyotas are breaking down.
A lot of Toyotas are pulling Jeeps.
Yes, they were.
All right, so let's revisit a little bit of where we closed last time.
Cool.
And we're going to be include those are going to be like our number one, twos, and threes.
Okay, sounds good.
We closed last time with gloves.
Yep,
that was one of the honorable mentions, and we would like to also put a star or an asterisk alongside of that is kind of just protective gear. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's blanket this. It's not just specifically gloves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at safety glasses. You know, if you're doing any grinding or welding or any of that work, you want to have good leather, chaps or jackets.
Gay shirts, welding shirts.
Yeah. Gay welding jackets. Or some fire retardant shirts. Just some protective gear, earplugs.
Who was that told us about the FR shirts? That you're like, what's an FR shirt?
Yeah. I
thought it was one of the patrons.
I think it is. I know it's one of our Instagram hecklers.
One of the heckler crowds.
Yeah. So I'll dig into that one. You continue to go with protective gear.
Okay. But yeah, protective gear.
Put
so PPE. You've got face shields if you're grinding. I did a lot of trimming fenders a week and a half ago, and I had to use the welding blanket, so the fiberglass welding blanket, because it was way too hot outside and too hot to wear pants.
Okay.
And so I was just getting sparks all over my legs. It was really hurting, so I had to use the welding blanket, and I wore the mask because, tight quarter grinding and cutting, you're just getting sparks all over the place in your face. So having a welding hood with a grind mode on it is an extremely nice thing to have. And we'll probably get into that more when we do another episode later this month. But gloves, glasses, safety shop sandals. why are you laughing?
That's awesome. One of the things I want to get is just over-ear protection.
Oh yeah, just ear plugs of some sort. We didn't have on the list, but
not earplugs. I don't want earplugs. I want just the ones that the headphones we're wearing now.
Okay.
In a way, just something that you can strap over. Because there's a few times when it's like I need to cut something real quick, and it's like it's gonna take 5 seconds to cut.
Uh huh.
But going across the shop to grab, the in-ear buds, take my gloves off, squish them, shove them in my ears. And then come back and then cut for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I just am like, I spent more time putting these ear wedges, I don't know what you want to call them, the ear foam things into my ears than it would have, than cutting the part.
They have because essentially the whole thing about ear protection is keeping pressure waves, because that's all sound is, right? Is pressure waves. So keeping pressure waves from entering your eardrums and blowing out your eardrums or damaging them over time. Don't they have reusable rubber stoppers on?
Yeah.
Almost like
yeah,
like those small headphones that just wrap around your neck. So could you get a pair of those?
Yeah, I think I definitely probably could. Mm-hmm. I still think that just something quick to just throw over your head is faster than even grabbing those rubber ones and shoving those rubber, shoving the rubber in your ear.
Yeah. Do it again.
What, the visual or the saying?
That was a movie reference.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I just don't like the bulkiness of over the ear things. Cause if I'm going to be if you're standing up at a vise or like a fabrication table, then yeah, I think it'd be no problem. I think that'd be great to have like a over ear headset near the fabrication table. But if I'm crawling around under a car, doing any kind of cutting or grinding or scraping under a car to clean stuff off, I don't know, then I wouldn't want a big bulky headset on.
Sure. I would only use it as like a very quick moment.
I gotcha.
Right? Like I've got to cut this one thing and it's going to take a few seconds. Mm-hmm. I would throw the quick over the ear things protection on and take them off and go do whatever else I'm doing. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be doing a lot of work where I want a lot of ear protection, then I would, put the foam in the rubber in or however it works.
Oh, we're going to get derailed like the breaker bars from the last Tool episode.
And we're on number one.
We're number one. Oh, God. So, yeah, that's a good one. My recommendation for gloves, just something to look into, is something more durable. Because if you're going to wear gloves and be working for a long time under a rig, gloves, as they kind of get warm and you start sweating inside the gloves, that they'd start breaking really quick. And then you go through a lot of gloves. And I really like the ones we use in the shop. And I really like the ones that I have at home as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ones I have at home are called the Steel Venom gloves, something like that. But they're like essentially almost like a dual layered glove.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. But they're still a nitrile glove. And so you still maintain grip over stuff. And I've been able to work on stuff all day long and not have those break on me, which is real nice.
Yeah, a lot of that comes down to the thickness of the glove, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of talk about millimeters, how many millimeters thick. Mm-hmm. And I'm running like eights, nines in the shop.
Yeah.
And I love the gloves I have in the shop. They're Glove Works, and they have like grip.
Yeah.
Like the glove is like kind of like pinched and pulled out. Mm-hmm.
It looks like a basketball texture.
It does.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. And it has texture on all over the glove. And so even when you're oily and greasy and grimy, you still have some grip.
Yeah.
And it's not a smooth glove, Mm-hmm. And so I really like those gloves as well.
Yeah.
I found the email.
I just like your gloves because they're lime green, neon green.
Yeah. And I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, because in the videos, if I had a black glove on and I'm trying to point at something like in an engine bay, you can't see where my hand, it just disappears into shadows.
Yeah.
So I bought some brighter color gloves so that you could see where what I'm pointing at in dark places.
Yeah.
Dino sent over that Douglas Bay was the gentleman that sent us over the fire retardant shirts.
Nice.
I was trying to find his Instagram handle.
Mm-hmm.
Because Dino, for some reason, couldn't figure it out. But
he's useless.
I know.
Can we fire him yet?
But I think we're moving on anyway. So
okay.
Thanks, Doug, for sending us an email about fire retardant shirts.
Yep. Cool. Yeah, I also like the idea of the fire retardant just sleeves. Mm-hmm. The sleeves you can just slip on and then take off when you're done, use them for whatever you need to use them for. Next one.
Yeah, the next one we briefly spoke about, which was the telescoping magnet tool.
I use that all the time.
I know. Like, I don't know. If you say you've never dropped a nut or a bolt down into an engine bay...
Mm-hmm. You're lying.
You're lying.
Absolutely.
And there's like two ways to get it out. Or you've
never worked in an engine before. Right?
Yeah. You can use the telescoping magnet tool or one of those like snake pinchy grabby... Claws. Yeah,
they're like the claw from Toy Story. So. Right.
And I've found that the magnet one works. Like I like that one way better.
I agree.
I use a magnetic screwdriver sometimes. That helps.
Yeah.
But just the telescoping magnet one, it's just great.
Now, with the magnetic screwdriver, do you use just the tip or do you get more of the shaft in there as well?
No, definitely the tip.
Just the tip
is all you need.
Okay, cool. Yeah. lesson in life. No, I really like those as well. Funny story. The other weekend when I was up on the towers, the radio towers, I was having to mess with washers and bolts and nuts, putting in that rotor on top of the, the 80-foot tower. And I started thinking, I was like, I'm screwed. Like, people that do this for a living, you're screwed. How do they handle dealing with hardware up this high? Like, if you drop something, you got to go all the way down to get it.
Right. And then hopefully you find it in the weeds.
Right. So I'm like, how do I've been curious. So I want Max. Max, once you listen to this episode, shoot me a text. Because he worked on cell towers for 8 years. I'm curious how you keep hardware straight when you're hanging off the side of a tower.
I'm sure they carry like 10 times whatever they need up.
I'm sure, but like, do you have like magnetic sleeves on?
Oh, that's cool.
That you can just put all your hardware on your arm?
There's
or
your
like
next invention.
Magnetic bowl, like those magnetic bowls? Do you take a bunch of those with you and put them on the side of the tower and throw your hardware on those? Like, maybe. I'm curious how they do it.
Yeah.
Because if it were me, I would use one of the bowls.
Yeah.
Just...
Were you wearing a tool belt?
I wasn't wearing a tool belt, but we had a bucket that we would send down and up. And once I had it up, once I got it up, I would clip it to my harness with one of the other leads that I had.
Got it.
So it was kind of right there and I could use it.
I bet they use tool belts for the most part and would just have a dedicated market for some of those things. But yeah. That's all I really have to say about telescoping magnet tools. I mean, they're just a great tool to have that help you grab things after you drop them.
And you don't have one in the shop anymore.
No, it broke.
Yeah,
I've used it that much.
Oh, man. So what's the next one?
Multimeter with probes.
Yes.
What kind of probe are you talking about here?
The kind that you can use to stick in places and read electrical connections. So... And sticking in probes.
Ooh.
Also, clippy probes. So, ones that you can clip onto things. So, yeah. Was that what you're looking for?
Good enough. Multimeters are really important when you're doing a lot of electrical work. If you're doing any, like, pretty much anything in the engine, if you're working on lights or you're trying to figure out, like, why aren't your... I just completely lost what the injectors. Why aren't your injectors, you know, firing? You're going to need, a multimeter to make sure that signal's getting there. You're going to need to figure out what you're going to be looking for, ohms, volts, watts. You know, you're going to have to know all
that. Get your grounds and your loads.
Yeah.
Your grounds. And your positive correct.
Exactly.
And not swap them, Mike, when you're setting up your headlights.
Grounds are like the number one important thing inside of a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And they're one of the things that are going to go wrong. You know, that's probably one of the first things that go wrong in a lot of electrical situations is you probably have worn through something and you're now grounding where you shouldn't be grounding. And that's why your battery's draining. And that's why your lights don't work. And that's why you can't turn left anymore.
I feel like you're talking about somebody in particular.
Clifford.
Oh, nice. Okay. So yeah, multimeters, they're great. Alligator clips, so that you can, a really nice thing to have is essentially paper clips. So you can stick paper clips in what's called back probing. So you can stick paper clips.
Is that
into
what it's
the,
called?
Yeah. Back
okay.
probing.
Okay.
Where you stick the probes in the backside. It's, what number are we on? We're on number three?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Every time Tyler laughs because of a
PG-13 joke?
PG-13 joke. You guys have to take a drink.
Oh, geez. We're going to be very drunk by the end of every episode. You can take electrical connectors that are usually in plugs now. They're very nice setup in plugs, and you can stick... paper clips into the back of the plugs and then stick alligator clips to those on one side and then stick alligator clips onto your multimeter probes, right? And that's a good way to start reading electrical connections without having to undo all of your electrical connections.
Yeah, that's smart. And those work really well for like when you want to actually check,
continuity
or just
voltages.
A whole entire like socket set, not socket set, a plug a plug. That has a ton of wires in it.
Yeah.
Right?
Like a computer terminal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can check every single one of those with something along those lines.
Yep. Pretty quickly, too. It's nice. So, highly recommend those. And just make sure that either your leads off your multimeter or your alligator clips are long. Get a long set, like 6 feet. That way, if you need to be probing from inside the cab and in the engine bay at the same time to check like continuity or something,
yeah.
You can do it.
Right.
So,
and one thing that maybe I shouldn't admit this on a lot of multimeters, there are caps over the actual metal probe.
Mm-hmm.
And you can unscrew that cap and you will get a longer metal probe.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man, this sucks. I only have this little nib. Shopping. I can't like stick it into things, you know? It's too girthy.
You have a short little nub that you just can't stick it in ever?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
That's why they call me Tuna Can.
That's a Tuna Can. I've never heard that.
Drink.
All right.
So you can actually pull those caps off and you'll have a longer lead up there. So a lot
longer
of...
Longer probe.
Yeah, longer probe. A lot of multimeters kind of have that feature. Yeah.
Very cool. So, next up.
The next one I'm actually quite embarrassed about, actually.
I kind of am, too. I don't know if you mentioned it first, or it's been mentioned a couple times from people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's definitely got to be included, because multiple people brought it up.
Yeah.
Is Allen wrenches.
Allen wrenches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oopsies. Oops.
That one should have been. That one really could have thrown it into another one of the other categories with probably sockets and mm-hmm. other wrenches, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know why we didn't think about that one.
I don't know. That's a good question. There's a lot of things that use Allen wrenches on your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a 22RE engine, swap out your TPS throttle position sensor screws with Allen bolts.
Yeah.
And then use your Allen wrenches to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So Allen wrenches for sure. And make sure you have the sizes for your diff plugs, drain plugs all around the vehicle, any other stuff. There's a lot of random stuff in the engine that uses Allen wrenches. Different things inside the cab that'll use Allen wrenches.
Yeah.
So you get a nice set and keep them on hand. So
yeah, and those also, you know, they come in metric and standard sizes. And mm-hmm. it's crazy. Like there's no generic no. sizes. It's all over the place usually with them. So
get one of each.
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
So sorry, our bad. Apologies. We'll admit to messing that one up.
Yeah, that one definitely should have been a lot higher.
Yeah. Next up, now we get into some of my favorite stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Lubes.
Yes.
So, lube your shafts. What's the best way to lube a shaft or lube, other things kind of attached to shafts?
I usually just throw the grease in my hand and stroke it.
I mean, you could do that too.
Drink.
I mean, I do that too, but there's actually on most shafts, there's a little Zerk fitting that you can plug it and what am I trying to say here?
And squeeze it.
You can plug and squeeze it and embed. I'm not thinking of the right word.
Inject your greasy fluids.
Yeah, yeah. Your lubey fluid into your shaft. What do you need to do in order to do that? What you need a certain item.
You need a grease gun.
Yes, sir.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
These come in a bunch of different sizes and different types as well, but I would get the ones that are running off of the cylinders.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that you're going to pop both sides of the cylinder, throw that in there, shove the shaft all the way forward so it's pressurized, and then you can squeeze away.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of applications on your vehicles that will end up having Zerk fittings on them where you're going to want to grease them, you know, from your steering components to, you know, your axle shafts to your drive shafts to your U-joints to your shackles to your, mm-hmm. you know, all kinds of different things on there that will or do require greasing.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one that's high up on the list of something that if you are going to be doing some mechanic work and, you know, having a little shop of your own for working on your rigs, this is something you're going to want to have.
Grease is an awesome thing. Vehicles love grease.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then that also goes to, you know, get a little tub of grease as well to have on hand, especially if you're going to do anything with bearings.
Right.
So you're going to need to pack bearings. You can't really... inject grease with a grease gun into bearings very well. So having a little tub of grease on hand, as well as the cylinder style grease gun, is awesome to have, and your vehicle will thank you for it. So yeah,
if you are fancy, you can go get the bearing greasable guns.
Yeah, true.
But us normal folks just use our hands.
Normal peasants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I use my hand.
Yeah,
quite often.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get all fancy.
And you know what? You're like, you keep pressing that bearing into your hand, and it just gets all rosy.
It does kind of get rosy, but it also builds up nice calluses too.
No.
So for next time when you go using your hand, it doesn't get as messed up.
True.
Yeah. So next on the list kind of goes in that similar category. Other lubricants.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't just, we thought that grease should be in its own category, because it's a lot of mechanical things love grease, and it's a big thing that you should always grease. Have require it, right? Whereas these other things are kind of a little more optional lubricants. Mm-hmm. Well, and anti-lubricants.
Yeah,
almost
some
too.
Of them are grease cutters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have on this list, we got like PB Blaster.
Mm-hmm. We have best smelling thing in the shop.
Oh, I love PB Blaster. I'm one of the weird people that likes gear oil smell.
Really? I think I want to make a PB Blaster air freshener.
That would be awesome. I think it would be fantastic. a WD-40, no squeak, the lubricant, stuff like that. What is...
carb cleaner, brake cleaners.
Well, that's a cutter, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking of what is a bearing oil? I forget exactly what kind it is, but you can use them to pre-lubricate bearings, like when you're doing setting up ring and pinions,
yeah,
and those things. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just use normal oil usually.
Just put normal oil in there. It's not special.
Yeah. Or engine oil.
Okay,
that's all I've never ever done.
Okay, so then
but you can do white lithium grease, you know.
Okay. Yeah,
stuff like that as well.
So, yeah, and then cutters,
mm-hmm.
like carb cleaner,
yep.
brake clean.
Mm-hmm.
Those are super nice to have, especially if you're working on older vehicles. I highly, highly recommend to buy your carb cleaner in bulk. So, get like a 5-gallon bucket of it.
Right.
And get a pressurized canister that you can refill and then pressurize it. We ended up getting one for the shop, and we use it all the time, cleaning stuff, especially on any kind of older vehicle. Mm-hmm. Anything that's been, that you want to end up doing work on maintaining, you usually want to get it clean first so that you can properly maintain it, get rid of all the old crap on it, all the old dirt that's going to break it down, especially like bearings or seals or stuff like that, and then re-grease it with new grease. So getting, you know, a nice sprayable pressured canister that you can refill is a really nice thing to have in the shop.
Definitely.
So
yeah, and I just want to do another shout out to PB Blaster. That stuff's so cool. I know WD-40 also makes a penetrating lube, mm-hmm. That, you know, helps drink.
That's what I was thinking of, penetrating your grease.
Yeah,
so getting your penetration with your grease.
PEB so. Blaster, and then the WD-40 versions are a lot for rusty and, you mm-hmm. know, bolts that need that extra little help to break them loose. You know, if you're like struggling with your breaker bar, mm-hmm. you know, then you can use some of these fluids to help you get it loose.
Yep. Cool.
And then along that line, uh-huh. still, I mean, these are kind of, these all kind of could be in the same category.
It'd be a really big category, though.
It'd be a
huge
category.
They still have slightly different uses.
Yeah. So. We have just fluids.
Yeah.
And number one on the list, I would say water.
Water?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that would be number one?
I think water is a really important thing to have around the shop for mm-hmm. a few different reasons.
Okay.
One, staying hydrated.
Okay.
Two, putting out fires.
That's fair. Okay. I didn't think of that one.
I have like a 1-gallon water bottle jug behind the toolboxes underneath the table all the time.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And I have fire extinguishers, which probably should be on this list too.
Oh, yeah. We could put that here.
mm-hmm. I have a few fire extinguishers around the shop, but I also keep water around the shop, you know.
Okay.
And in the fridge. But I along that line, some other things would be oils, mm-hmm. you know, from gear oil to engine oil, you know, both important things that you sometimes you like. I was using the drill press the other day and I just put a little bit of engine oil down when I was drilling because that's, you know, it helps it stay lubricated. It helps
cooled,
you know, and it just works better that way. And I'll keep my bits going longer.
Yep.
You know, so any other fluids on that list?
I was thinking just any fluid that your car is going to use. So brake fluid, steering, power steering fluid, ATF. Water, coolant, ATF, engine oil, gear oil. If you need a different oil for your transmission because you have brass components in your transmission, you need GL4 gear oil for your transmission, aka W56s in Toyotas, older style Toyota transmissions. Make sure you have some of that on hand because if you don't have any on hand, you may be stuck because you can't get your vehicle moving to go get some, right? If you don't have a spare vehicle. So just having kind of extras of all the lubricants that, oils, fluids that your vehicle needs is a nice thing to have.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And in regards to that, it's always nice to have some extra fluids for when you go out wheeling, you know, so I actually have a whole bin set aside that every once in a while I rotate through that bin like, oh, I need to refill a diff, you know, I'll pull my gear oil out of that bin. I'll use it. I'll go buy another gear oil and put it back in that bin.
Yeah.
So that that bin's always sort of rotating.
Yep. And along with your fluids is also something very nice to have in the shop that, I mean, not necessary, just depends on how much of a mess you want to make, but something to catch fluids in. So oil drip pans, a big metal pan so you don't have to clean up your shop floor or your garage floor, something to cardboard to catch oil drips on. If you end up dumping a transmission completely over after pulling the slip yoke out, you may need something bigger, like a big bowl to have on hand. Jimmy, bigger, next time.
Yeah, bigger than my two hands.
Yeah. So yeah, something to catch messes in, right? Something to catch fluids in.
And you know, another good thing that could can add on to this one that we didn't talk about is just like a 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many times I'll use a 5-gallon bucket to catch like the antifreeze out of the radiator, you know, you know, or some of the items that are, you know, a little bit higher up that, you know, if you have this sort of a small like oil catch bin, it's just going to splatter all over the place. So having a tall sided bucket is always really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's cool. Good stuff, man. What do we got next on our list?
The next one on the list is moving away from the fluids, lubes, and everything else going on is more kind of a creature comfort.
Yeah. It's kind of a safety thing, too.
It could be.
Yeah.
I mean, and it could be for your health.
Yeah.
You know, it's just more of heaters and fans for the workspace that you're in.
Some sort of climate control to keep things from getting dangerously hot where you get dehydrated or get heat stroke kind of thing. Something to keep it a little cool, something to keep it warmer if it's super cold outside.
Yeah.
Just something to keep it within a reasonable temperature so that you don't end up doing stupid things because you can't feel your fingers, right?
Right.
Something dangerous or...
Yeah, definitely. On the heater side of things, I really want one of those heated jackets from Gear Wrench.
Yeah, what somebody bought all those apparently.
Yeah, Corey.
Corey.
I think those would be really nice to have.
Those would be awesome to have. Jason has one for his DeWalt set. And he said that he loves it. Absolutely loves it.
I have a huge, like, massive BTU burning propane torch thing in the shop that literally heats up my, like, 3,000 square foot shop. No, 1,300 square foot shop, excuse me. Like 1 degree a minute, which is crazy.
It's pretty crazy. After sitting there with it running for like 5 minutes, you can see the heat waves gathering in the top of the shop up near the roof and the ceiling.
Yeah. And that thing is awesome and it works really well. Another thing I might say about fans also, is there a good way to move air through and in the area where you're at? But it's also a good way to move like chemical sprays, spray paint, welding smoke, you know, all these other things,
gasoline stench,
all these things out of a shop as well. You know, the other day when B. Reynolds was over and he was plasma cutting Charlotte, it was getting sort of smoky in that area. And so I turned on one or two fans and opened the shop up so I could get like a cross breeze going through the shop, mm-hmm. and it cleared it right out. It was great. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I always kind of forget about that, and I'll do welding in my garage, mm-hmm. with the garage door down because my HOA hates me for right. working on stuff.
And then open the garage and it looks like you hotbox the place.
Exactly. Open the garage, this big old thing of smoke just comes out.
Yeah. And they're like, "You're not allowed to smoke dope in your condo."
Yeah.
And you're like, "I have a green card."
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's what they're called, but it could be.
A green card? I think that's for something else.
A green card. It means you can smoke marijuana, right?
Sure. We'll go with that.
All right. What's our next one?
Next one is we threw it in here, and we're going to end up arguing about it.
Yeah. We are.
I don't think we're going to argue about it with each other, because I think we sit on the same side. We both prefer the same thing, but it's an air compressor.
Right.
So, and then we started thinking, you know, air compressor, they're great multi-use. You can mm-hmm. use air compressors to air up tires, blow off workstations. You can use them to blow dust off of other things. You can use them for air tools.
Right. That's probably the big one. Grinding wheels, mm-hmm. you know, breaker, big old impact, mm-hmm. Wrenches, you know, yeah, there's all kinds of tools available for air compressors.
Yeah.
I have one in the shop, and I only ever use it for blowing things off or airing up tires.
Okay.
Because uh-huh. I have cordless stuff.
Yes.
And so...
So why do you prefer cordless stuff over air compressor stuff?
So I like cordless primarily because there's no cords.
Go figure. Okay.
Well, that, and they're quieter.
Yeah.
They're a little bit of a hand, you know, there's not a cord attached to what you're working on. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have an air compressor to do, you know, to get the job done.
Yeah.
You do have to have probably some extra batteries, mm-hmm. you know, that charge on the wall, you know, and, you know, you're going to have more, you know, more tools overall to get the job done, where, if you have a air compressor, you know, it's just sort of like little hand tools that you have to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's six one way, half a dozen the other. And I think with the technology now in cordless, that a lot of people are moving that direction, unless you already have all the air tools.
Exactly right. I think battery technology has come such a far way mm-hmm. that it's just becoming more convenient and to do just as efficient of a job.
Yeah.
With cordless versus air compressor stuff.
Right. It's a lot easier to take a cordless impact driver out onto mm-hmm. the trail
uh-huh.
and compared to air compressor impact driver.
Yeah.
You know, where you might have maybe the twin IRB can run it, or maybe you have a tank or you got a power tank, mm-hmm. then, you know, yeah, you can go into that direction. But, you know, a cordless impact driver, you know, or some cordless tools are a lot easier to tote around.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you can take essentially and pre-charge two or three batteries and then mm-hmm. take a duffel bag full of
some tools.
The tools that you'd need on the trail kind of thing. So,
yeah.
That's a good one. What was I going to say? The Gear Wrench Corey
mm-hmm.
told us that if you do have air compressor and you like to use air tools, like a die grinder kind of thing.
Yeah.
Apex. The tool company Apex, which does a lot of bits, right?
Right.
So drill bits, grinding bits, stuff for bits, right?
Sure.
They have an amazing just metal chewing bit that will just chew through any metal that you put out there.
Mm-hmm.
What's our, we have
our last one on the list.
One more thing.
Yep. Number mm-hmm. 10. Is going to be a toolbox or some sort of organizers or some way to keep all these tools in one place,
mm-hmm.
you know? And, one of the things I've learned over many years of working in my shop is, you know, when I first started off, I didn't have a lot of tools and I didn't have a lot of stuff in the shop, and it was cluttered.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it was spread out and it was all over the place. And the thing was, I didn't have a lot of stuff, so I didn't, like, I knew where I put it down.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I left the drill over there in that corner, and, you uh-huh. know, my wrenches are over here in this corner. But as soon as you start acquiring more things, you know, and if you had acquired everything that we had talked about up until this point, you're going to start having a massive amount of gear.
You need some
and tools, and you're going to need a place to put them.
Yep.
And the best part about it is just
you
the
organization. You need a place to put your tool, Jimmy.
I know.
Okay. Sorry, did I blindside you there?
No, I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to, I think organization and organizing, knowing where things are, mm-hmm. it makes just the flow of working on a project so much easier.
What are some options for tool organizers?
Besides a toolbox?
Besides a tool. Different. You could say different. I mean,
okay.
Do you recommend a rolling toolbox or?
I think I would. Mm-hmm. For the main reason of then you can put it, move it away. Maybe you can't pull your truck or rig into your garage, mm-hmm. you know, but you can roll your toolbox to the front of the garage whenever you're working on it and then okay. roll it back. Mm-hmm. You know, you can also, you know, take some of the tops off of the toolboxes and put them onto the walls, you know, and use them as storage in other locations. Mm-hmm. I know a few people that don't really have big old tool chests, but they have like 5 or 6 small toolboxes. And, you know, they have like one of them has wrenches and one has, you know, box ends and one has sockets and one has
tape
hammers
measures.
And one has a bunch of lights, you know.
Yeah.
And, and so they kind of organize things that way. One of the things I want to do in the shop is I want to get some of those probably US General carts or a gear wrench cart, and I want to dedicate a cart to a specific purpose.
Okay.
Like I want to dedicate one cart for electrical, maybe one cart for doing car washes, and one cart for welding supplies, and one, you know, and you can kind of, if you have the room available to do this, it's would be great.
Yeah.
But then you can, when you go and work on a specific project, you can just pull that card out and go work on it. And then everything's right there that you need, you know, and maybe you have your wire strippers and you have a soldering iron and you have all these things that for the electrical side of thing right there.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about going to different locations in the shop to get all of that.
Yeah.
Let's see what other, there's, you could have like small little bins that just sit on a shop. You could have, say you have cabinets.
Mm-hmm.
You could just organize your cabinets accordingly. How about pegboards?
That's one I was thinking of.
Okay, good.
One thing I really like about pegboards is, there's, things for pegboards where it'll hold a jar lid. And then you screw a jar into the jar lid and you can put hardware in those jars and have them all labeled. So you just have this section of pegboard with a bunch of jars with different types of hardware in it.
Right.
That's a really good one. That's one of the things I'm going to be setting up in my new garage.
Yeah.
Shortly.
Yeah. There's a few different, there's a lot of different varieties of sort of pegboard or tongue and groove setups, out there that will let you, the tongue and groove ones will let you like put a lot more weight onto it because they can hold a lot more poundage.
Yeah.
You could go look on Amazon. And there's like all different types of varieties of pegboard / tongue and groove setups.
Yeah.
I had one in my head and then I lost it when I started going off on this tangent.
Mm-hmm. What about magnetic strips?
Oh, that's a good one too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, magnetic strips. The magnetic socket sets, the socket rails.
Yeah.
Out from Gear Wrench are pretty cool. I'm thinking about snapping a few of those on a few different locations in the shop.
So one thing that I really liked was over at River City Differential.
We could do a whole topic on this.
Right?
How to organize a shop.
Yeah. But one thing I really liked was they had magnetic socket rails that were, they had metal shelving, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that they had was steel metal shelving. And on the bottoms of the bottom shelf was where they kept all their sockets.
Oh.
And so they had workstations set up like they had one full wall, like 100 feet set up with just a giant long workbench with 2 or 3 shelves above and 2 or 3 shelves below with air lines going through each one, power outlets hooked up to each station. And they're set up into like 6-foot stations, right?
Okay.
6 to 12, whatever it was. And they had a socket, magnetic socket rails on the bottom shelf so that all you had to do is reach up and grab the socket you want off of the bottom of the shelf that's pointing downwards, pull it downwards, and then use your socket. And then when you're done, plop it back up into the bottom of the shelf.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I think just even shelves, you know, just organizing your shelves and, you know, a lot of people and a lot of things I was seeing was people would do Rubbermaid containers or some sort of plastic container. And then you just label that on the outside, and maybe one's paint and one's fluids and one's lubes and, you know, one's spare parts and one's your camping kitchen supplies or whatever, you know, and then you can have those up on the shelves and that'll help organize it.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Yeah. I think we could do a whole episode on shop organization ideas. All right. So, or shop flow kind of thing too, since that's really what we've been doing for the past.
We have. Like 2 months almost. We've been working on that in the snail trail shop for a while now. So.
All right. Well, cool. So that's our list of 10 in essentially just about that order. I think Allen wrenches might be a little higher up, but since we talked about the other three things before them on the previous episode.
I would put Allen wrenches on in the first episode 92. Yeah.
So yeah, we have, just for a recap, we have gloves, safety glasses, PPE, stuff like that. Magnetic telescoping tools. We have a multimeter with leads and probes. You know, that are able to work on vehicles. Allen wrenches, which I think we both agree should be a different episode. A grease gun with grease. And we have then PB Blaster, so lubricants and cutters. So PB Blaster, no squeak, WD-40, carb cleaner, brake clean, stuff like that. And then fluids and ways to catch fluids. Mm-hmm. So your oil, gear oil, coolant, brake fluid, steering fluid, cardboard, pants, steel pan, aluminum pan, whatever it is to catch fluids in. Some kind of climate control just to keep things within a reasonable climate so you maintain safety in your shop, safe work environment. Air compressors or cordless tools and toolboxes organizers.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good list. I think we did that one justice too after everybody yelled at us.
So. Yeah. Well, a bunch of those were also suggestions from others.
That is so true. Yeah. So what about we had some other stuff that we talked about and we're like, we need to make an honorable mention.
Right.
A third list here.
Yeah, we do have a few items this list as well.
Yep. Real quick.
Yeah, we'll go down it. We'll just talk about them briefly.
So what's the first two?
I don't know what order you have.
I have an angle grinder and a tap and die set as the first two, but those are more fabrication tools. So we'll get into those a little bit more later on this month. But yeah, if you have especially older style vehicles where there's not either a ton of aftermarket support, you have to fab a lot of stuff. Having a tap and die set for when you strip bolts in your engine block is extremely important to have. And angle grinders are just so versatile. So, with the different, cutting discs, wheels that you can put on there.
Definitely.
So we'll talk more about those later on.
Yep. Another one we had was, pullers, some of that like Pitman arm pullers or ball joint pullers,
bearing pullers. Separators.
Yeah. Those are kind of more of a, I don't know if it's necessarily a beginning garage level, but it's definitely when you're diving more into a mechanic styled setup that you're going to need some sort of pullers. They help out. You can only hit it so many times with a hammer and the nut on there. And if it's not coming out and you're using your PB Blaster, then you just need an alternative method of pressure.
Well, yeah. Or you just need that alternative method to pull out. So another thing on here is a beer fridge.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And this is just, I don't think there's any argumentation here.
No.
Like if anybody argues with us, we're just gonna throw away your email.
Yeah. It could be, you don't have to have a full-size fridge in your shop. I had a little like mini dorm room fridge in my big old shop for years, you know, and it's as long as you can keep it stocked, you know, then you're good. It's as soon as you need more room for more beer, then you have to upgrade.
Yeah. And if you're a JK owner, then it becomes a White Claw fridge.
Mm-hmm. So definitely.
What's something else?
Internet. Or really good manuals.
Yeah. So, yeah. They go hand in hand. Kind of essentially some way to figure out what the hell you're doing.
Yeah. We did feel that. I mean, it's important to have internet and it would help you out in the shop and it would definitely work. But we don't feel, it's one of those things that I think we felt that like, if you have a modern day cell phone, you have internet, it's already out, it's already available to you. You know, we don't necessarily need to talk about it.
Yeah. So either internet or a factory service manual for your vehicle. That goes a long way.
Not a Chilton's.
Not a Chilton's. So funny thing, which I found out and you kind of laughed at me about, was I thought that a Chilton's and a factory service manual were the same thing.
No.
I thought they were synonymous.
No.
And so we were at a Napa, I think, and I was like, oh, I need one of those. And it was a Chilton's. And you're like, I have like three. You can have one. And I was like, okay. And so we got back to the shop and you're like, okay, here. And you threw it to me. I looked at it and I was like, this doesn't have anything in it, like anything worthwhile. It doesn't tell you how to do or how to troubleshoot all the electrical circuits and how to do everything step by step. And he goes, well, yeah, that's a factory service manual. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want. And you're like, well, then you want a factory service manual. And I was like, yeah, that's what this is, right? And you're like, no, Chilton's is not a factory service manual. And that's when I learned the difference.
Yeah. And the factory service manual is 5-6 times thicker than the Chilton's,
at least. Yeah. Yeah.
It comes in 3 books that I have for my 91.
Yeah,
one's like the body, frame, chassis, one's engine, and one's electrical.
Yeah. Yeah. So factory service manual, don't get a Chilton's, get a factory service manual for your vehicle.
And if it's an older vehicle, you can snoop one off of the internet probably.
You can essentially get one and save it on a spare cell phone or a spare tablet, and keep it in your shop or your garage or something, and just dedicate that and have a PDF version of the factory service manual and just cruise through that all the time. So
definitely. But if you want the actual book, they are not cheap.
Correct. So those are our honorable mentions, not to be confused with our unmentionables, since we did mention them. Our unmentionables are something we're going to keep unmentioned, and we'll talk about them later on in the month. Make sure that you guys pay attention this month. So that's why we are kind of giving space and not doing a weekly giveaway next week, so that you guys essentially have a little bit of time to catch up with the podcast. Because I know with everybody not commuting to work right now, there's a lot of people that are very behind on the podcast. So it'll give you a little bit of time to catch up, but make sure as of the third Monday this month, which is June 1st, 8th, 15th. So as of June 15th, that you are paying attention to the new Monday episodes. So the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th, because those are going to have very important information that you're going to need to know in order to take part in the giveaways for those weeks.
Definitely.
Other than that, go leave a review on iTunes to be set up for that giveaway. Look at and check out the Snail Trail 4x4 Instagram page for the details on that giveaway going on this week. And there was one more.
Become a patron.
Become a patron. And that's going to be there's going to be 4 winners with some pretty nice tool set packages. Compliments of Gear Wrench this month. So there's going to be 4 winners pulled from the Patreon giveaway tier this at the first week of July.
Mm-hmm.
So happy July 4th to 4 winners. Oh, there you go. I just made that up. Look how well that
worked.
So very cool. If you guys had more stuff that you wanted to yell at us about tools, send in the emails and we'll make sure that Dino screens them so that we don't get our feelings hurt anymore. And I'm just kidding. We love hearing from you guys. Send them on in to Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com with the emails. Or you can always send them on over through the gram. Make sure you check out the gram and pay close attention to Instagram this month. That's all we're going to say for now. Any other updates that I forgot? Any other pieces of tidbits that we need to let people know about?
No. Cool. I think that's it.
What do you have to say? What's your final words of advice for everybody?
Go write Jason. You have a few days left. Jason@wheelingwineandwhiskey.com for trivia questions.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling. I'm going to be able to put this on like 20 episodes. Oh, shit.
Okay.